All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be joined in studio by Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson from Buncrana Garda Station, where you'll get the very latest appeals and information first here on Highland Radio from An Garda Síochána. But so much interest in the first hour on the text and phone lines. Really appreciate it. Caller says landlords are being spoken about like a dirty word. These people made an investment. So should these people not make profit, forcing people to sell land or not allow them to sell houses with evictions seems like taking away the owner's rights, and I feel will just stop people wanting to rent long term, which is a concern I know is out there, and I tried to put that to Deputy Doherty. Piers Doherty doesn't know what he's chatting about. I'm a landlord paying more than he gets paid every year. Another, so why are the government okay as ying millions to house from foreign nationals? I presume that's what that says. People, there's just some letters missing on that, so send it through and I'll read it properly. People are on the edge of a cliff at this stage and they cannot see that they're about to topple over into our regulation or over-regulation, similar to China. As a non-smoker, I find it ridiculous. Imagine telling people what they can do outside now and everyone accepts it. Madness. Big pushback on that in Britain. No plans for it here in the Republic. What is Sinn Féin's standpoint on people not being able to build on their own land? That's an interesting one. I would like to have got that position on record. Hi, Greg. Regarding Sinn Féin's affordable housing for first-time buyers, they state that individuals must qualify for finance from a financial institution. This eliminates anyone who has a credit rating issue as a result of the 2008 crash. This disqualifies a large number of people. The council mortgage scheme currently is a joke. I was told by the person responsible for the scheme in Lifford that there was no point in me applying, despite both my wife and I having well-paid civil servants jobs in permanent contracts, on the basis that the scheme is more difficult to qualify for than a private bank mortgage system. Hi, Greg. It sounds like Sinn Féin doesn't want home ownership. It wants home borrowing and home rental. Sounds very like you'll own nothing and be happy, as predicted by the World Economic Forum 2030 predictions. The words you were looking for is not just overreach. It's out-and-out communism. He can twist his words any way he pleases. The results are the same. Sadly, people will be convinced because of the desperation to get homes and think this is a great idea. Leave farmers' land alone. Go after the developers or vulture funds who are hoarding for profit. And in fairness, the deputy did say that they are against taking farmers' lands, and it is actually the developers and vulture funds that they are targeting. Where is the workforce coming for these houses? Also, why should inheritance tax be around when people are left houses from family members? There's very few at the moment would have to pay inheritance tax in Donegal. Most of the properties in this county are below the threshold, but I take your point. Secondly, in relation to who's going to build the houses, well, Deputy Doherty claims contractors are having to lay workers off because the work isn't there for them. So I presume that's part of their solution. Sinn Féin promises on housing mean very little when they support open borders. Sinn Féin jumping on the bandwagon, putting a plaster on a large wound despite their party dropping continuously in recent polls, says a listener. Another, nobody wants to admit the truth is that mass immigration is fueling the housing crisis. We must realise that is the policy of mass immigration, which is at the root cause of the housing crisis. I mean, like, I think that's I think that's giving the government a pass in a way. It's not giving them a pass in terms of, or any future government, in terms of their immigration policy. But listen, the housing crisis has been with us long before what might be described as the recent influx of people into the area. I certainly think it's having a significant impact on the rental markets in Donegal, no doubt about that. But across the country, is that the root cause? I don't know. Maybe it is. Why is it Ukrainians are going into property rent-free? The rent's being paid for them, and most of these people are working. If you work, you should pay your rent. Did Pierce say Ireland is not for sale? I was a lifelong Sinn Féin voter and will never vote for them again. The party's out of touch with the people. That could not have been more evident than in their recent support for the failed referendum and their unclear migration policies. That comes in from Tony. Tony, yes, I would agree with you, and I mean this sort of as an observer. If this major document is not going to reverse that party's fortunes, unfortunately, because people believe, I think a lot of people believe, that the housing crisis is so big that it's almost, you can't get your head around it, it's not a big issue. So what we do in that situation, we go to what seems to be the more actionable things like borders, for an example, and that's where we make our views and opinions known, or something like a referendum where it's very clear and simple as to what someone's position might be and what the consequences might be. I don't anticipate, and I could be wrong, I don't anticipate this housing policy giving them a big bounce back, because the scale of the problem is such that I don't think anyone at this point necessarily trusts anyone to be able to fix it. I could be completely wrong on that, and we'll see. And that's not a pro-anti-Sinn Féin, pro-anti-government. It's just an observation, and it includes really all parties. Hi, Greg. Sinn Féin are totally anti the small landlords of Donegal who are not money-hungry and all for the tenants. I hope to God Pierce and his cronies, as this person describes them, do not get in. Good morning, Pierce. Can talk and talk, but fails at the last hurdle, like the missold PPI on our mortgages that we never got back. Statute of limitation was an absolute joke. We are owed thousands. Another, no wonder Sinn Féin are dropping in popularity. The man is not in the real world. Who's going to build these houses? Talk, talk, talk. Another, does Sinn Féin have any plans to limit short-term lets such as Airbnb? Now, I've done a lot of interviews over the years with Piers Doherty, Pádraig McLoughlin, and other Sinn Féin representatives. And I'll be completely honest with you, and maybe it's just that Sinn Féin voters aren't ringing or texting in their numbers. I've not really seen such a negative reaction to such a long-form interview with Sinn Féin in quite some time, to be completely honest with you. I'm not saying that's indicative of the wider population's view. I'm just saying I haven't seen it. There were 33,000 houses promised for last year for Ireland. How many did Donegal get? Letterkenny had 4,500 social houses projected for 24. They will never happen. This talk needs to stop and action needs to start, and that's why I wanted as clear as possible an answer as to how houses might actually be delivered here. You know, fantastic for people in the rest of the country if they're getting houses, but what is going to change here? The biggest issue in this country at the minute is the cost of building. Contractors are charging lottery money to build because they can. What is Sinn Féin doing about the residential zone tax? It's insane in rural Donegal that families are facing these costs, yet when they apply for planning on the same land, they're being turned down. Well, that was addressed in that interview. Pierce talks about his children not being able to afford homes. I travel all over the world, and anywhere that is doing well and worth living in is expensive to buy a home in, and anywhere cheap is not worth living in. Another, the Sinn Féin housing policy is pie in the sky and will never work. Hi, Greg. The Sinn Féin housing plan states that the government retains ownership of the land on which the house sits. The residents can only sell the house to someone who qualifies for social, and state decides the price the house is sold for. That doesn't sound like ownership to me. And Owen O'Brien outlined some elements of that in an interview last month. Greg, housing problem. About 45 or 50 years ago, Donegal Coco had a pilot project in Woodlawn, Stranorlar. The council sold sites for €1,000 each. The condition was they had to build a house within that year on the site. Great community, great idea. I mean, there's people now living in farmhouses or what have you. They're still on land that's owned by the council. And it's not simple either in terms of developing that house, getting work done on that house. The council owned the lands. The person owns the property. You know, there's lots and lots of those houses around the county. Is that similar to what's being proposed now in a different form? Why have rents and house prices gone up? I blame the influx of Ukrainians and direct provision. They're being housed for free. The maths just doesn't add up. If other people aren't paying their share, others have to pay the rest. How many of IPASS applicants, though, are in rental, traditional rental accommodation? I think certainly an awful lot of Ukrainians, and maybe actually we're able to gather some resources together whilst in state accommodation, are certainly a big competitors, and it's an open market, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing in the private rental sector now. How can we pay tradesmen to build houses? The workers are not there. I'm a tradesman and can't get people to do the work and pay them. Right. As I say, you know, I'd be very keen to hear those who are in favour of the Sinn Féin housing policy. In my time in this seat, I've not had such a negative reaction to a policy stroke interview, if I'm completely honest with you. But as I say, that's not necessarily indicative of the public's view. It's certainly just a testament to how motivated people are to text in. Really, perhaps. I don't know.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
With me in studio this morning is Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson, who's down to us from Buncrana Garda Station. Good morning, Charlene. Thank you for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
We do appreciate it. And we're going to start with an appeal in relation to a fatal road traffic collision that occurred in St Johnston, Charlene.
That's correct, Greg. So on Friday, the 30th of August, Gardaí attended the scene of a fatal road traffic collision that occurred in the village of St Johnston, Donegal, shortly after 2 p.m. Now, Gardaí and emergency services were alerted after a woman in her 80s was struck by a lorry on Church Street in the village. She was pronounced deceased at the scene a short time later. So we're appealing this morning for any witnesses to the collision to come forward. If there was any road users who may have dash cam footage, or indeed anyone that has any information in relation to the incident, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Now, we are focusing on a series of burglaries. We'll start at the Neil T. Blaney Road in Letterkenny, Charlene.
So Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating a burglary that occurred at a business premises on the Neil T. Blaney Road in Letterkenny between 8 p.m. on Friday the 30th of August and 6:45 a.m. on Saturday the 31st of August. Now, in this particular burglary, Greg, a window of the premises was smashed and entry was gained and a sum of cash was stolen from the cash register. So we appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area between those times or who may have any relevant information in relation to the incident to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny, again 9167 100, or indeed they can contact the Gardaí confidential line on 1800 666 111.
And help being sought in relation to a burglary at Glencar Irish.
That's correct. So between 9 p.m. on Saturday the 31st of August and 7 p.m. on Monday the 2nd of September, a wooden shed at a house in the Glencar Irish area of Letterkenny was broken into. And the lock on the shed was broken and entry was gained. Now, a road bike, black in colour with blue stripes, power tools and hand tools were stolen in this particular incident. So we appeal to anybody in the Glencar Irish area of Letterkenny who may have observed any suspicious activity in around the area, or indeed may have any information again in relation to this particular incident, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny.
And not in any way casting any blame on that victim of that crime, but it does serve as a reminder that criminals will also target outbuilding sheds and what have you. And sometimes, and I've been guilty of this myself, so I can say we can focus on the security of the home in which we're living in. We also need to make sure that we ensure any outdoor space is secure as well.
Absolutely, Greg. And I suppose, look, the evenings now are starting to get darker. Mm. And you know, just again for people, and we always give this advice when we're on the programme, is just to ensure that if they have lights, that, you know, they have them on. If they're leaving the premises, that they have everything locked up, including windows and particularly outbuildings, because as you rightly said there, it's times we would forget about them and the shed door could be left open. And a lot of these crimes are opportunistic.
Yeah.
So just appeal to people. Yeah, just light up, lock up.
You can have a 300 or 400 or 500 euro house alarm system and a 399 lock on the shed. I've been guilty of that, so I can say it. Okay, now a burglary in Buncrana.
So Gardaí we recently became aware, Greg, of an incident in Buncrana at Buncrana Leisure Centre at the shorefront, where over the summer months it would appear the premises was burgled. Now, entry was gained to the building and the gym was completely ransacked. Damage was caused to a treadmill also in the gym. So the burglary in this particular incident was believed to have occurred sometime between the 1st of May and August 27th, during which time the building was not in use. So just once again, appeal to any of the residents around the shorefront area in Buncrana to contact Gardaí in Buncrana, 9320540, or indeed anyone that may have any information in relation to the incident to contact Gardaí.
Okay, back to Letterkenny now, and an incident of criminal damage, Charlene.
So that's right. So Letterkenny Gardaí are appealing for the assistance of the public this morning in relation to a criminal damage incident that occurred at a takeaway premises, and that occurred on the Port Road in Letterkenny near the station roundabout in the early hours of Sunday, the 1st of September, round about 3 a.m, Greg.
So that's Saturday night. So people on the way home from a Saturday night out may have seen something, really, isn't it? Yeah.
That's right. Or people that may have been out for the night, maybe round the takeaway.
Taxi drivers,
exactly. So in this particular incident, a man was in the premises. He kicked the front door and left, causing the glass to shatter. Now, we believe he was wearing a cream or a yellow shirt. So again, just any information in relation to the incident, we'd ask the public to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Now, a suspected assault in Buncrana next.
That's right. So Gardaí and Buncrana are investigating an assault that occurred at the Market Square in Buncrana in the early hours of Sunday, the 1st of September, between 1:45 and 2:45 a.m. Now, a man is reported to have been assaulted by a number of people at that location between those times. So he received medical treatment for his injuries, and thankfully, Greg, none of which are life-threatening in nature. So we just appeal to anyone who may have witnessed the incident to contact Gardaí in Buncrana, and the number there is 932-0540. Or anyone, of course, that was in the vicinity at the time. And I suppose, look, what we would find at the weekend too, there's a lot of young people that are out. They're doing TikTok videos. They're putting stuff up on their reels on Instagram. And you just wouldn't know what you might have captured. And if anyone does have any information or indeed has captured the incident, whether that's dash cam footage now or indeed these TikToks or Instagram reels, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana.
Of course. And whilst thankfully the victim of this crime didn't sustain life-threatening injuries, it doesn't always tell the full story, does it, either, in terms of the impact these assaults have on people, absolutely, physically and emotionally as well. So any assistance in bringing those responsible, I think, would be very worthwhile. And an interesting seizure recently by An Garda Síochána O'Connor. This emerged last week, but interested to get more info on it from you, Sergeant Anderson.
So the Divisional Drugs Unit had great success, Greg, in South Donegal last week. In around the 22nd of August, they seized €3,080 worth of vaping products containing what is suspected to be illegal cannabinoids. That's your THC, HHC and HHCP. Now, during the course of the searches carried out, they were carried out in Bundoran and indeed in Donegal Town. So this was really as a result of an ongoing investigation into the sale and supply of cannabis in the form of oils and vapes. And these devices and e-cigarettes were being sold in Donegal. So the divisional unit done a number of searches on premises in around South Donegal on that date. And the searches were followed up then basically from inquiries that were received in relation to reports about medical incidents in which members of the public had fallen ill.
So just in relation to that, I mean, there's a couple of things going on here. Firstly, I think a lot of people may be hearing for the first time that you can vape cannabinoids. But also, too, that we have to be very careful to speak to those around us, whether they be young or otherwise, because this was triggered by a medical incident.
That's
the level of detail you're prepared to give, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that would indicate, too, that these products aren't safe necessarily, too. And they're illegal, which is the primary. So what kind of stuff was seized, Charlene?
Well, at the moment, we have a number. As I said, we had 66 vapes, two bottles of oil containing suspected, and I will say that suspected, illegal cannabinoids. And now they're also subject to analysis from FSI, that's the Forensic Science Laboratory in Dublin. So look, we're just appealing this morning for anyone with any information that can assist us with our investigation to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
Right, now, updates, love updates. Updates on a couple of appeals last week.
That's right. And you just like to thank the public again for all their help. And just the first update, I suppose, we appealed in relation to criminal damage incident that occurred at Lochfern Heights in Milford. And I can confirm that a youth has been identified in relation to this particular incident. And we also made an appeal in relation to a criminal damage incident, and that was at Main Street and Convoy. And further to that, two youths have been identified in relation to that particular incident. And all youths concerned will now be dealt with under the JLO scheme. So we just like to thank the public for their assistance, as always. And I know, too, that a member of the public had contacted the radio station 2 weeks ago in relation to a stop
sign. That's right, yeah.
That was missing from a road in Malinhead. So thanks for that as well. Contact was made with Donegal County Council, and I can confirm that the sign has since been replaced. So look, thank the caller, first of all, and then, of course, thank Donegal County Council for their swift action in this particular
one. And in fairness to the council, when things are brought to their attention, often the response is swift. Now, does anyone know if the static speed cameras are fully functional yet on both lanes going out and coming in the dual carriageway at Manor Roundabout? I see there are new lines on the road.
So this is the question you were asking me earlier. You want to know this for yourself, isn't it?
I don't use that road. And I'm incredibly law-abiding.
I'm only messing. On May 1st, An Garda Síochána announced the location of 9 static speed safety camera locations, Greg. And the static speed safety cameras have been proven internationally to reduce speed. So, and of course, speed is one of the main contributors to road deaths. So the locations were selected based on fatal and serious collision data from the last 7 years, as well as feedback, of course, from the stakeholders. So it is confirmed that Donegal is to be one of the locations of the 9 new static speed safety cameras being rolled out nationwide. The device will be located on the N14 And that's East Letterkenny along the main Manor roundabout to Lifford Road. Now, it is expected to be fully operational by the end of 2024. So just not yet, Greg.
That's interesting. So when you head over the dual carriageway, go round the roundabout, and from there heading out to Lifford, that's going to be... it's either end of the road there that the...
It'll be along that route, Greg. I suppose when we get the exact location, it will be on...
And it's good to get out because there... a varying speed limits and people might, you know, leak over the 80 or whatever it might be, or depending on where it is. There's no wiggle room here. If you get from point A to point B quicker than the legal time it should take, abiding by the speed limits, that is a speeding offence. So it's going to change drivers' behaviour on that road. It'll be very interesting to see the impact, Charlene.
Absolutely. And of course, like, we hope that it reduces road deaths.
Yeah, that's what
the
it's
most
all
important
about,
thing.
Isn't it?
And like, there's 9 being rolled out nationally. So this is one of the locations for Donegal. I will say that road users will be advised, Greg, of the location, and that the static safety speed camera, you know, there will be signage there on the approach to it, and it'll be advertised on our social media platforms and indeed on the programme.
I'm sure we'll talk about it quite a bit in the lead up to it. Yeah. So that's going to be fully operational by the end of 2024, but don't use that as an opportunity to drive irresponsibly between now and then, because all of this stuff that we talk about is all about trying to limit as much as is possible, and we can limit pretty much all of it if we tried. Fatalities on our roads and serious injury as well, which often isn't talked about, but an awful lot of people end up with life-changing injuries. What can you do? Can you ask the guards advice on what to do if your Facebook page is hacked? Beforehand, please don't click any links. If someone says, can I have your number? Don't give them your number. You know, you can only have your Facebook page hacked really 9 times out of 10 if you engage with a spurious link or what have you. But what is your advice?
I suppose the advice from us, Greg, is as always, the first thing you should do is contact Facebook directly and report the matter to them. And if you believe that your account or your network has been hacked because you can't get access to your account, you should contact the guard at the station. Keep a copy of any suspicious activity, including your last login records or even a screenshot of the login page showing that you were locked out. You should try, where possible, to use the two-factor authentication to secure your account, or use a backup email to try and regain access to your account with the help of your service
provider.
Which
is good advice, actually. A lot of people go, it's too much hassle with the two-factor authentication, but it is very useful. Right, okay, big day last Sunday.
Yeah, we had a great day out in Rock Hill House on Sunday. We had a graduation for 22 of our 24 Little Blue Heroes in Donegal. And it was fantastic. We had a summer party for them. We had a lot of the services out there, you know, and the families and the friends of the children were there. So they got their medals and their certificates. And it was just a great opportunity to get them all together and get the families they're able to engage with each other and support each other going forward. I suppose we have lost 3 of our Little Blue Heroes, Greg, over the last year. And their families were there too for the presentation. So quite emotional, I will say, but definitely a fantastic event. Thanks to Chief Superintendent Gretty Sheridan, who was there on the day, Superintendent Sean Grant and Superintendent Karen Duffy from Ballyshannon District, and all the Garda buddies that liaise with the families consistently over the year. I suppose I'm the coordinator for Little Blue Heroes in Donegal, so it's always fantastic to, you know, run these initiatives, and particularly a day like this. We haven't had one of these days before, but it was great for the children and we all got so much out of it. And as I said, it was very emotional but thoroughly enjoyable.
Wonderful. As you say, wonderful, but also for the Little Blue Heroes, but also a wonderful opportunity to remember 3 little ones who will be always Little Blue Heroes, family members, of course, as well. So as you say, that range of emotions there. And fair play to you, Charlene, for the stuff that you do in that. I know you're here to thank everybody else, but a lot of this wouldn't happen if it weren't for you. And a lot of people have to get involved and give up of their time to make this happen as well, too.
Absolutely.
Not just least Sunday, but all the time.
Absolutely. And look, and big thanks too as well to Rock Hill House. It's amazing. They have amazing facilities out there. We were hoping to have our air support unit, but unfortunately, inclement weather, they were 10 minutes out.
I wouldn't book that again.
They were 10 minutes out and they just couldn't land. But we had our Garda Mounted unit there, and we'd like roads police and community policing units from Letterkenny and all over the division was there for the kids. You know, so it was a great great day. Great day was had by all, Greg. Thank you.
Well done to you again, Charlene, for the effort you put in that regard. Thanks so much for joining us. It's greatly appreciated. That's Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson from the Buncrana Garda Station. If you missed any of those appeals, if you want to listen back, it'll be available on our podcast from 12:30 on the Highland Radio website. And you can also rewatch it back. It'll be up on our social media and on Garda Síochána's social media page a little later on, and back live with you on the show tomorrow morning. No, next Tuesday morning, just after 10. It is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Just want to remind you that next Sunday afternoon between 12 and 2, me and the team are going to be broadcasting live from the London Irish Charity Vintage Club Day. It's in Greenford in London. If you're over in London, please come down and say hello. And it's not too late to book a flight if you have the resources. Why not? But before that, on Friday, it's an open invite into you if it's something you would enjoy. We have a live broadcast between 9 and 12 noon on Friday morning from Ungreanon Theatre, and it's going to be great fun. I'm going to be there. I'm elevating Paul and Jimmy almost to co-host status. I think they're worthy at this stage. They've done their training. So it'll be me, Jimmy and Paul, but also Zoe McCauley, a 16-year-old singer-songwriter from Dunloe, will be performing three tracks for us. Tessio, they're a singer-songwriter duo from Derry. Jude and Callum, they're going to be performing live. We've got Owen Ferry, an up-and-coming 18-year-old singer-songwriter from Gwydor. And also the Afades, an Irish indie rock band, no strangers to Highland Radio. They're all four finalists in the Irish Music Month competition. They're going to be performing live. We're going to be giving away €10,000 as part of the summer draw as well. And you can go on to Ungreanon's website now and book tickets for it if you want to. They're free, of course, and you just turn up in the day and you'll get to hear great live music and hopefully enjoy seeing a Highland Radio show live. So if you want to go along, and there could be 10 people there, there could be 200 people there. I have no idea what the interest might be, but we're letting the doors be open. But you need a ticket, obviously, for logistical reasons. You can go to Ungreanon website. Have we linked that on our website yet, Caroline? No? Probably not. Do it sometime Friday morning. joke, that'll be done today. Right, so the Department of Education has come under pressure to drop a junior cycle textbook containing absurdly misconceived and discriminatory depictions of the Irish family. This from the school curriculum. So children aged, in first and second class, they get to see two images, really. One's what you might call a traditional Irish family, or that's how they're framed. It's Ara Bigara stuff, thatched cottage, cow looking on as if to say, my word, yous are all very backward. That's how the cow looks to me anyway. A couple of kids, Irish dancing among the chickens, and obviously there's going to be a hurley there and a schlitter. And mum and dad all, dad's got a pitchfork, cats looking on bemused as well. And really, that family is being framed as eating potatoes, bacon and cabbage every day. They do not like change or difference, and the children get told off if they mix with people with a different religion from theirs, as they would be a bad influence on them. Conversely, there is another family, a mixed family, and they are out partying. They're taking selfies, they're smiling, they're happy, they're eating pizza. In fact, some of that depiction is really quite stereotypical as well, eating curries and eating pizza just because you might be Asian or Italian, strange. But they're outgoing, they're fun, they're travelling, they're open-minded and what have you. So again, I'm joined on the programme by Rebecca McDade from A Parent's Right on this issue. And Rebecca, I mean, I want to get your reaction, but I wanted to set it up. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought this was a joke. I thought that, do you know, sometimes someone finds a bit of information relating to something in Spain or something and they repackage it and say, this is what they're teaching our children. So I had to dig deep to find out if it was true, and it is true. What's your reaction to this?
Yes, Greg. It actually comes from this particular book. I know you'll not take us in the back to front. But this particular book is what has been taught now. It has been published in 2023. And this is what's been taught in the secondary schools in Ireland. What you have just mentioned there is just one topic, I suppose, that you could pick out of that book that is a completely wrong depiction of an Irish family. If you look at the wording of it, because it's telling you to, your teacher will read the following descriptions of two different families. And while you're listening, close your eyes and imagine what it would be like to be living in this family. And then when you've heard the description of family A, pause and answer the questions, and then you go on to family B. So you're not actually taking the two of them at face value, what you see, and doing a difference between the both of them.
But this
you're
is not
one first.
But Rebecca, so this to me, this to me doesn't seem to be like sort of necessarily talking about, you know, diversity and stuff like this here. I mean, maybe that's part. This is actually really poking fun at an Irish family to say, you don't want to be part of this, do you? You don't want to have no one living, you don't have a single relation living abroad. So, and so what they do is they ignore emigration, whereby a lot of these kids, their brothers and sisters, are actually probably living abroad. They ignore that and then try and make out that you're some sort of backward, you know, cabbage and bacon eating, which many of us are, don't get me wrong, that's not the worst of it. So it's crazy. I don't understand it. I don't get, unless it's trying to change people's ideology on stuff. It doesn't feel like education.
No, I don't feel like that is properly educating our children. Look, Greg, I come from a family. There's 10 of us in the house, and we have 5 boys, 5 girls. Our eldest in the house is 67 this year, and I'm the youngest. I'm 45. I've no problem telling anybody my age or giving that description. But our family home, when my parents bought that house, they'd been in Scotland, and after they got married and came over then, after the first 3 were born. And when they moved into that house, which is about 58 years ago, there was no running water in that house. So you're going back only almost 60 years in around that time frame, where there was no maybe electricity in some houses, no running water, and that's real life, you know. And if they want to try and tell the truth about what has happened in those years, please tell the truth, don't tell lies. So the fact that our children saying, telling our children that we don't have a difference or change, that our all of our family members are Irish, or we don't have a abroad, or anyone from another country in our family. I have family in London. I have family in Australia. I've been there myself. I've lived there myself. I'd love to go back again. To say that, you know, that we don't play foreign games. We would, of course, we play foreign games.
Yeah, but I don't think. Yeah, but I don't think they're trying to. It is, but I don't think they're trying to. I don't know what they're trying to do, but I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm not saying they're depicting that this is actually a typical Irish family, because then it says the only movies we get to see are Irish ones. None of that Hollywood rubbish for us. We get told off if we mix with people with a different religion from ours, as they would be a bad influence on us. And after that or before that, they're asked 2 questions. Name any advantages you can think of about being part of family A. Name any disadvantage you can think of being part of family A. So does that not maybe then challenge the student to say, well, I'm that kind of a family, but we love Hollywood films. We play different types of sport. Do you know what I mean? Is it not really designed maybe for a child to talk about the advantages of that family, but also the disadvantages of it?
Yes, if it was the truth. If it was the truth and you're asked to get the advantages and the disadvantages, but the fact that it's not actually true, Greg, is worse. That's the part that I have a massive issue with. I find it very, very divisive. I think it's a completely wrong depiction of a traditional Irish family. And we don't have to lose, you know, we have our traditions, we have our culture. That's who we are. The Irish are known all over the world because of that. The people love our music. The Rose of Tralee is one of the programmes that we hold in Ireland, and they're coming from all over different parts of the world to enter the competition. That shows, and that's proof of our Irish people travelling all over the world. I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, we do have our tradition, we do have our values, and we don't have to lose any of those in a book, in a depiction in English.
I'd love to know who wrote it, because then
that's actually in our SPHE, which is the Health and Wellbeing.
Then we have Family B. See, this is where I get confused now, as to the point, because Family B, they have a fantastic life. They all are open-minded. They have all different types of food. They camp on their school holidays all around Europe rather than travelling around boring old crappy Irish Ireland. Like, if you have a group of kids of mixed backgrounds in that classroom, those that are not Irish look like they're fun and exciting, and those that are Irish look like Aaron Jumper wearing Spud boring munchers. Now, this is the stereotypes. These are the stereotypes that are being depicted here. Irish, white, boring farmers, non-white or mixed, fun, exciting, bigger world vision travel.
Yeah, but what you also have to take into consideration is when you have children from foreign countries who are coming into our schools, and if they see that as an example of an Irish family, they're not going to have a very good impression about us. So that's why I'm saying it's extremely divisive.
Mm. It's I'm going to go a bit further than that. If this book was published in England, at the very least xenophobic, at the very worst racist, if this was a depiction of an Irish family produced outside of Ireland, those are the words that would be used. If we stereotyped another culture like this, it would be an international controversy, but we're doing it to ourselves, which I think is kind of strange.
Well, the answers that I would like, Greg, is I want to know who has actually signed off on this information to say that this should be taught or can be allowed to be taught to our children.
Who wrote it and what position do they have in formulating our teaching in schools?
Yeah. You know, the publisher is one person. You have a name on the book who's the publisher. That's not the person who wrote the content. So I would like to, the answer that I want is, who has actually written the content for this book?
I'm just showing this to the camera. Don't be distracted. Carry on talking.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Who has actually given the go-ahead for this information? That's the type of information that I want to know. And I would really like to see this taken off the market, because I don't believe that it should be allowed to be taught to our children.
I want to talk to the artist, and I know this sounds stupid. I want to talk to the artist and ask them what they were trying to depict in the expression of the cat and the cow. I know that sounds like a silly thing to do, but they're looking on as if this family...
Because they're smiling.
No, the cow's looking on as if to say, oh, Jesus, look at this crew. And the cat, I don't know what its expression is. Yeah, but they're looking as if to say, oh, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And we also have, it'll be interesting to see what the Leaving Cert book is. That's being introduced now. You can't get this information online, so parents are unaware of this nonsense that's being taught to their children, if the truth be told. I couldn't find it online. It's an awful lot to ask a parent to order a book and buy it. And you know what I mean, Rebecca? So what do you think? Go ahead. Please.
You know that I've been on your show before, and I've been talking about other things within the whole SPHE. And at the end of the day, we as parents, we have got to be on top of our game, and we have got to know what is going on in schools. We need to look at the books that they're being given, and we need to go through the content within the books. That's what I did. I went through the book and I picked out the things that I found that I thought, I don't agree with this. And there are a number of issues within the book, but this one has particularly really got me, because it is lies on and the depiction of an Irish family.
It's racist.
And I cannot get past that.
It's racist. I can't get past that. It's a racist depiction of Irishness.
Well, when you go down that road, you know, you can pick out different things from that. But my problem is when you hear something, you cannot unhear it again. So when the children get this information in school, and this is their first information they're going to get about a typical Irish family, especially when you talk about foreign children in their schools now, where they're being integrated into all of our classrooms, it puts a divisive, it divides that class, and it gives the wrong interpretation of who we are, who we are as Irish people, and also for others, and what their idea of what an Irish family is.
Well, also, we're far more... I know there are people who are very progressive and there are people who are very conservative, but as a whole, our country is actually really quite progressive. It's opening, it's welcome, right? That is the majority of people here, separate to maybe arguments about numbers and all that kind of stuff. But basically, we've got many different cultures of people living here for a very long period of time. We've got Irish families that are very open-minded and, you know, go travelling and all this kind of stuff. And I just don't understand, even as a talking point, why an Irish family is depicted like this, and a mixed family or people with different cultures are depicted as something else. To a for someone in first or second class, what are you trying to achieve there? I don't see the benefit of let's have a conversation, because why not depict the stereotypes of the international family and have a modern outlook Irish family?
Yes, absolutely. Because again, as I said, the truth of the matter is the Irish people travelled all over the world. The likes of the Rose of Tralee, that gives you the best example of all of those countries where everybody has travelled to. Coming back to Ireland, they're proud of their heritage, they're proud of their culture, they like to be able to show where they come from when they have been born, and whether it be America, whether it be, you know, anywhere else. They want to show their Irish culture and their Irish heritage, and they're very proud of it.
Okay. Rebecca, listen, thanks very much for your time. We'll come back to this, because I have a feeling it's going to rumble on, but thank you for now. That's Rebecca McDade from A Parent's Right. Just to remind you, from Thursday, the weather's actually going to be quite pleasant. Not an awful lot of rain at this point forecast for Thursday. Friday and Saturday, it's actually going to get quite warm and into Sunday, so hopefully you can make the most of that. Right, now we're going to take a break, because I have run over a little bit. So we're going to take a break before the news at 11, and we've got a really interesting hour on the way. Please don't go anywhere. Your comments and lots of other stuff too.